Amen. All right. Those who are saved by God's grace, we'll meet them again. Matthew, please stand. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 57. And for a Christmas message, if there's such this morning, this you'll think is a wrong text, but just listen. Amen. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Amen. I hope you didn't just come to see what's going on, to see what's going to happen. That's what Peter was doing. Now the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. I want you to notice the word witness and the word false with it, if you will, please. And it's mentioned here in verse 60. Verse 61, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Amen. I believe I missed verse 62, didn't I? I'll go back and get it. But found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came what? 2 false witnesses. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he's guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, as we bow in your presence, I pray that you might touch our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that we feel this morning already mingling amongst our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that have brought our attention to the Lamb of God. But I pray now, Lord, that we might see the thoughts of the Scriptures and we might hear a message from the throne of God and not from the minds of men. Lord, may we today see the work of the Spirit of God in our midst, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Notice that they had to get witnesses. They could not find anything wrong with the Lord, so they had to find them some false witnesses. And they looked and looked and looked and only found 2. Now the law stated that there must be 2 witnesses, at least 2. The Bible said that we're not to take any charge or anything. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before 2 or 3 witnesses. Also reminds you in the book of Matthew that if you somebody's got an ought against you, that you're to go to them and talk to them. And if they won't hear you, you take 2 or 3 witnesses and go to them. And if they won't hear the witnesses, you bring it to the church, and the church will take care of the business. Amen. I had to do that a time or two in life. Sometimes we get out of realm with that. But there has to be some witnesses. And for them to be able to crucify the Lord, Pilate and Herod and all that crowd and the high priest in this particular case knew that there must be some witnesses to bring some kind of accusation against him, or his hands is going to be guilty. So they get them 2. Here they find one that come back and said, he said, this man said, you build, that you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. He's talking about the temple of his body. And then he admits that he's the Son of God in a roundabout conversation with Caiaphas here, and he said he's guilty of blasphemy. That's the accusations are brought against him. But I want to take this text where we are in the Word of God right here. And we're going to talk about the trial. Here's the trial of Jesus Christ. And I want us to call some witnesses to the stand this morning and see if we can find Him guilty. Amen. Of being the Savior. Amen. We don't find Him guilty of anything wrong. I couldn't find anything wrong with Him. But I want us to call some witnesses. And I'm going to label them. One of them I'll give you, and we'll just go through this morning like this. We're going to call to the stand, first of all, Mr. O.T. Put it down. We're going to call Mr. O.T. Mr. O.T., would you step forward and get on the stand? So Mr. O.T. comes to the stand. And so then they say, Mr. O.T., do you know the defendant? Now we're talking about Jesus Christ at the trial here. Mr. O.T. says, yes, sir, I know Him. How long have you known Him, Mr. O.T.? Well, I've known Him for ages, but I've got record of Him for the last 6,000 years. Well, Mr. O.T., can you tell us something about it? Yes, sir, have you got anything right? He said, yes, sir, I've got a written deposition of this man, and I've got it in some books. Amen. Amen. I've got them in some books. I've got it wrote down in 39 written depositions of this man. Well, Mr. O.T., can you tell us something about him? I sure can. I want to tell you a little bit of what I know. I know this much, that before I wrote these things that is already put in the archives of glory, and what I'm fixing to say has been stamped with the authority of Jehovah God and been sealed with the Spirit. And I want to give you some written words. I want to tell you about something found in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that God said to Moses to write down. And Moses wrote it down upon my heart. And Mr. O.T. begins to say this, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see, I want to tell you this morning that I've been writing about this person for over 6,000 years. And I want to tell you that I've been prophesying that he's going to come one day. And I've been promising that he's going to come one day. And I've been telling people and predicting that he's going to arrive on the scene on time. And there will come a time when he will come. Amen. To this earth. Okay, Mr. O.T., have you got anything else to say about him? I sure have. I prophesied in past days in Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 17, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. I've been talking about this man. You may not recognize him today as that, but this man that you have on trial, he's been prophesied to come. Brother, he will take the place one of these days of you and me. Amen. And I'm giving you some word. Okay, Mr. O.T., thank you for that. Can you tell us anything else about it? He said, well, I can tell you about some more witnesses. I'll be one of the witnesses, but can I tell you about what somebody else? Well, I'm not sure where I'll allow that or not. That's hearsay. Well, Mr. O.T., just tell us what you know. He said, well, I'll tell you that because it's been recorded. But I also want to remind you that there was a man one day by the name of Enoch that did walk upon the face of the earth, and I recorded his words. Amen. And it's found in the New Testament, of course. And he said in Jude 1:14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Old Enoch said that one of these days he's coming. He's coming. Hey, I've got a record to tell you this morning, Mr. O.T. says, that he has been promised and prophesied and predicted to come, and he has come. This is he that they have just committed and condemned to death. Okay, can you tell us anything else? Be a little bit more specific, Mr. O.T. Why, sure. I'll be glad to. Out of the book of Isaiah, a man by the name of Isaiah said this one day. He said, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He said, Isaiah spoke up one day and it wrote in the channels of my heart and upon the pages of my mind and upon the archives of glory that a virgin is going to come one day and bring this servant that we have in front of us today that you're trying to condemn to death. He's going to come born of a virgin. And they'll call His name Emmanuel, which will mean God with us. And this is God with us in your very presence. Well, Mr. O.T., can you tell us some more? I sure can. He not only stated that how He would be born of a virgin, but the same prophet in my channels of record down in the Word has told me to tell you this, that Isaiah also has given you how He would be born, or why He would be born. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse number 6, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to present to you the man that has been prophesied to come, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. This is what Mr. O.T. said. Well, Mr. O.T. went on to say, there was a man by the name of Isaiah, and he kind of put it this way, he, before 700 years before it ever took place, said that he would be born of a virgin, and he would come and be born, and here's what he'd be. Matter of fact, Isaiah saw this. Isaiah saw a crib. Amen. For unto you a child is born. Isaiah saw a cross. Unto you a son is given. And Isaiah saw a crown. He said, for he shall be called Wonderful. Nobody has ever been called Wonderful like Jesus. Amen. Counselor. Thank God there's never been a counselor like Jesus. And He'll be called not only the Counselor, but He'll be called the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. Amen. And He goes on to tell us the Prince of Peace. Before He ever came, Isaiah said, He's going to be here. And yes, sir, I have recorded what Isaiah said. All right. Well, I not only done that, but I'll tell you where He's going to be born. Before He ever got here. He said over in the book of Micah chapter 5 in verse number 2, here's what O.T. said. He said, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's Almighty God. Where's He coming to? Bethlehem. Well, Mr. O.T., I guess you know who Mr. O.T. is, don't you? Old Testament. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Well, we thank you, Mr. O.T. You can go back and have a seat now. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll call another witness. We'll call him N.T. Mr. N.T., would you take the stand, please? I ain't never preached a message like this in my life, but anyhow. Amen. Never heard it preached either. I said, oh, yesterday, and God said, that's what I want. I said, all right, we'll do it. Mr. N.T., do you know Mr. O.T.? Yes, sir. How long have you known Mr. O.T.? Well, I've known him for the last 2,000 years. Yeah. Said, actually, I've known him for longer than that, but I've just been recording about him for the last two. Well, Mr. N.T., can you tell us anything about Mr. O.T.? I can tell you a little bit. What do you want to know? Well, Mr. N.T., has Mr. O.T. been a reliable witness? He said, I've never found fault with him yet. Well, Mr. N.T., has Mr. O.T. ever told a lie? Said, can't find one. Said, do you concur with everything, Mr. N.T., that Mr. O.T. said? He said, 100%. He said, I say amen to every bit of it. He said, Mr. N.T., have you got anything to add to that? He said, oh, I thought you'd never ask. He said, what do you got to add to this? He said, well, he said, there was a man by the name of Joseph one day that just stepped out on the scene of time and said he saw a pretty little girl and fell in love with her and got engaged to her and said it's the love of his life and said everything was going fine, and all of a sudden he found out that she was with child. And said Mr. Joseph, his world was torn upside down. He didn't know what to do. So he went to prayer and seeking the face of God. And while he was praying, the Holy Ghost of God told him not to worry about it. That what she was conceived of the Holy Ghost is a holy thing. And it was just proper and right. Amen. And everything is fine. Because he said he is going to put her away privately and get rid of her, but God said no. Amen. And he talked to her, and she began to tell the story, how that the angel came to her and said, fear not, Mary. Amen. You're going to have a child. You're going to be conceived with the Holy Ghost of God. And he is, and I want you to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 1. And said, guess what? Said, here's what he told her. In verse number 30 of chapter number 1 of the book of Luke, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Notice what it said, verse 32, he shall be great. What did Isaiah say? Wonderful counsel, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hey, I want to tell you, Mr. N.T. says to the crowd, he said, what Mr. O.T. said about Isaiah is going to come to pass, and it's in this man that you've got before the jurors here to be tried with. Well, said, but I understand, Mr. N.T., that Mary and Joseph's down in Nazareth. Oh, yes, sir. That's where they were at that particular time. But you see, it happened like this. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so everybody had to go to their own homeland, and so Mary and Joseph just decided they was going to take them a vacation. No. But there's going back to Bethlehem. Why were they going back to Bethlehem? Because Joseph was of the house of David, and David was from Bethlehem. Amen. And Bethlehem means the house of bread, and the house of bread is going to give us the bread of life. So they went to Bethlehem. Oh, just by perchance when they got there. No, not by perchance. When they got to Bethlehem, the time of her delivery was at hand. No, it's perfect timing of God. Galatians 4:4, at the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Right on time. God's calendars are not wrong. God does not have a watch or a timepiece in glory. You don't have to have one anyhow. But if he did, it would not be a second late nor a second ahead. Everything will be just right on. Some of y'all don't know much about being on time, but God does. Amen. I don't know where you husbands like I am or not, but I have to start trying to get my wife ready 2 hours before we leave. And have kind of keep prodding her all the time. Now, she says it's because she's got old, but I remember 40 years ago we was having that problem too. She blamed it on the kids back then. Now she blames it on old age. But it wasn't just perchance that they ended up in Bethlehem. Because Mr. O.T. has already told us this morning that Isaiah said that they were going to be brought forth in Bethlehem. Well, not Isaiah, but Micah said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, I'll remind you of something else Mr. N.T. says. He says, Mr. O.T. was up on the stand a while ago, and Mr. O.T. said that he would be called Emmanuel. And we go to the first chapter of the book of Matthew, and you'll find out that as we read this story on the last half of the first chapter, that you call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So I want to remind you, Mr. O.T. knows more about it than you think he does. Well, let me just ask you this, Mr. N.T. What kind of authority do you have? He said, I got the same authority that O.T. has. Oh, yeah. Hey, you got any proof? He said, I got some written depositions. Amen. Matter of fact, I got 26 books. I've got all this wrote down. I can tell you all about it. Don't hardly have as much written, but I got a lot to tell you. Yes, sir. You count all that accurate? He said, can't find a thing wrong with it. First-hand knowledge. Amen. This is not hearsay. For 2,000 years now, I've been witnessing, telling all this. Well, can you tell us any more? Yeah, I can tell you some more. Said she brought forth a son and put him in, laid him in a manger as she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. I tell you something else. There were some shepherd boys sitting out on the side, and the angels came down from glory and told them all about him. And he'd be born and find him in Bethlehem. And they got up and made haste and came and found him just like the wise men did. And they saw the star in the east. Hey, I can give you some more. It wasn't, it wasn't just that. Some years went by, and one day he comes down the Jordan River and is baptized. And he started his ministry, and he's been in ministry now for 3 years. This man that you're trying to put on trial and bring false witnesses, I want to tell you about the real witnesses. He said, time won't permit me, and you won't let me stay on this stand long enough to tell you. But let me tell you about the woman with an issue of blood. And she pressed to the crowd, and finally she touched the hem of his garment, and she's made whole. Hey, let me stop and tell you about the blind man that he made spittle and laid upon his eyes, and he could see. Hey, let me tell you about the dead man that he rose from the dead. Let me tell you about the lame man that couldn't walk that he touched. Let me tell you. Mr. N.T., you're very interesting. You got a lot to tell. Sure have. I've been trying to record this for 2,000 years. Amen. I got more to tell you than that. I not only can tell you where he's at right now, and that this is the Son of God who has come to be redeemed, to redeem you and me. And listen, they're going to crucify him, and he's going to die, and he's going to the grave, and he's going to rise on the third day, and he's going to ascend back up into heaven. He's coming back again after a while, and one of these days, yet future, he's going to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to be put on the throne, just like it's been promised by Mr. O.T. Amen. Now that's a little different Christmas message than you've probably been used to. Amen. I get tired of getting in a rut, don't you? That's what preachers do. They kind of get sneaky and come in at the back door. But I'm telling you the same story. Just telling it in a different way this morning. I'm glad I got the reports. Well, I'm glad, Mr. N.T., that you've told us all this and informed us. But can you do any more? Can you bring any more? Is that all the witnesses? He said, no, time won't permit me to tell you any more witnesses. But let me just stop a minute. Let me just talk about today. Let me just tell you about some folks. And if I was to look here, you and I, this morning and say, hey, what about you? Do you not have a testimony? Do you not have a witness for the Son of God? Can you not remember the time that you were dealt with by the Spirit of God, and He showed you that you were lost and undone, and He reached down and saved you when you called upon His name? Can you not stand up and say, yes, this is the Son of God that they're fixing to crucify here? Amen. Do you not have a witness for Jesus? Do you not have a voice for Christ? Amen. Does He not mean much to you? At this Christmas season, brother, I want to tell you right now, I appreciate the Lamb of God, don't you? Amen. This means something to me here at Christmas time. The birth of Christ. Somebody said, oh, I don't get too excited about the birth of Christ. Well, I get excited about it. I do. You said, oh, why? Because you're going to get Christmas gifts? No, you get my age, you don't really care where you get anything or not. Amen. When you get older, they forget you anyhow. And most of us, after we done lived a while, we ain't. Amen. I used to catch myself going down to Walmart 20 years ago and 30 years ago with a bunch of kids. One on this side and one on that side. My wife pushing the buggy, and here we are hunting. And this one wants that, and this one wants that, and this one wants that. And old daddy looks it over, tries to get everything that they want and all that stuff. And daddy looks over and said, I'd like to have that, but nobody bought that for daddy. Y'all remember them days? Well, they got grown. I was able to buy a few little things. I mean, I wanted to buy a few things I wanted to get. Now, guess what? I go down and I want to buy things for Christmas. I look at it. I go in the store and I said, well, back yonder you said, ain't got no money. Can't buy it. Can't afford it. Had to give it to the kids. You know how that is. It's amazing. Always worrying about your kids. 40 years old. 45 years old. 50 years old. You lay in the bed and worry about them. Don't sleep because of them. And they're over there in their little hut, sawing logs, nothing bothering them. And you're up all night. Am I telling the truth? Nothing seems to bother them, but it's worrying you to death. Now I go into Walmart, look over there, and I said, well, I'd like to have that, but I can't use it. Too old. Amen. Don't have no interest in it no more. Hey, there's an old saw I'd like to have 20 years ago. Don't have no use for it. I ain't got nothing to saw. Don't even want to saw it. If I had it, amen. You been there? Amen. I bought me some toys. I call toys. I looked on the porch the other day and I found a brand new toy I bought myself about 3 years ago. It's never been taken out of the box. The box is getting faded. And it's brand new. I told my wife I needed it. I was in the basement the other day. One of the sons was there. And he looked at that and he said, what's this, Daddy? And I looked at it and I said, oh, that's one of my Christmas presents a few years ago. He said, it ain't never been used. I said, no, it ain't. I guarantee you, and I kick a bucket, he knows right where it's at. Understand? So it's not gifts that gets me excited for Christmas. Amen. And it's not even food. I eat food year round. You can tell by looking. I don't have it hid. Amen. We was at the table the other day and I was eating. I told my wife I wanted a steak for Christmas. I don't buy too many steaks. And I'm not all that much of a steak eater, but I like steak every once in a while. Amen. Everybody ought to eat a steak every once in a while. Even you vegetarians ought to eat a steak every once in a while. Just to let your body know you can. I'm a vegetarian. Yeah, I eat vegetables and I eat meat. But I want that steak, and I went in the place. I told my wife, I said, we're going to go early. I'm going to go get that steak. I want my Christmas present. So we went down there, and I know where I wanted the steak at. I had one about a year ago, and it was good, and I'm going to try it again. And I went in, and up on the wall it said the steak had it there after 4, and it's 2:30. So I ate something else. So the next day I had to go back to Cornelia, and I said, we'll just go back and try that steak again. And I went on Tuesday and walked in there, and it said steak after 4. And I said, I want that steak right there. And he said, we only cook them on Thursday and Friday. I said, it's not on the shelf, not on the sign. He said, we used to do it all the time, but now we just do it on Thursday and Friday. We make sure they're good and fresh, and we cook them on Thursday and Friday. I said, well, I don't know where I'll get back on Thursday or not. I don't know my schedule. But it so worked out that I went down there on Thursday, and I was not sure I was going to get a steak when I went. I thought I was on Monday, and I thought I was on Tuesday, but I didn't know where I was on Thursday or not. And I walk in, I said, can I get that steak right there? It's after 4 o'clock. He said, yep. I said, cooker. And I eat my steak. And I've got my Christmas present for my wife. So it's not food that I'm looking for Christmas. What am I looking for? To celebrate the coming of my Savior. Somebody said, I think the birth of Christ is probably the pinnacle point of the Word of God. I believe it's a central part of the Word of God. Well, you can say what you want to, but I do not believe that the birth of Christ was the greatest thing that I can find from the Word of God. I say, thank God it's part of them. What's more important? You said, is the death of Christ more important? Well, I guess if you want to put the death of Christ compared to the birth of Christ, I'd say it's probably more important so. But I'm not even trusting on the death of Christ this morning. Because had He went to the grave and I stayed there, I'd still be in my sin. But thank God He arose on that third day. And since He arose on that third day, He's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And I've got my hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And brother, that's what it's all centered on. Thank God for His birth. Thank God for His death. Had He not been born, He couldn't die. And had He not died, He couldn't have risen. But on the third day, Father Time said, we've got Him. We got Him sealed up. The devil comes by and said, you think you got Him? Yes, sir. Right before the eve of the third morning, the devil says, is He going to make it? Yeah, we're going to keep Him. We got Him under lock and chain. Brother, we've got the seal. And we've got the guards. And about that time, the stone was rolled away. And He had already risen. Amen. Thank God that's the focal point of my redemption. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, if had He not risen, I'd still be in my sin. Now we go back just a minute. We're looking at our story, and I got to pass the story. Mr. N.T. still got the stand. And we could just stay here for a long time and going back and compare these two. Hey, at the mouth of two witnesses shall every word be established. N.T., that's New Testament. O.T., Old Testament. Brother, those two witnesses alone is enough this morning to know that I can take and stake my life on everything in that Bible. I don't understand everything in that Bible. I can't explain everything in this Bible. But I believe it all. I believe it. Don't you? Thank God for His goodness. Heads bowed. And eyes closed. The witnesses speak. I'm not talking about the false witnesses this morning. I'm talking about the true witnesses. Jesus spoke to Pilate and said, talked about the truth, and he said, what is truth? I read in the Word of God a place or two where it said, thy word is truth. And I'm glad this morning I give you the witnesses of the truth. Thank God. Mr. O.T., Mr. N.T., let's stand. I trust today the Spirit of God has testified in your heart of a Savior.